Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Welcome again to Talk Straight, an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Our weekly topic focuses on real issues confronting families and communities. Yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery Sr., is the host. Here we, from time to time, engage special guests and or experts, different subjects or disciplines, as well as you, the listening audience, in provocative conversations. Additionally, this show serves as a catalyst for sharing relevant information across the United States of America and abroad as we endeavor to take our traveling lecture series to several states, cities, in areas. You've heard the website www.bfcinstitute.com. Encourage you to go there and learn more about that. We're grateful for you joining us this September 7th, and we hope that you enjoy another episode of Talk Straight. I'm going to share with you our monologue as we normally do. The number is 657-383-0944. No matter where you are listening, you're welcome to join us, share your comments, raise your questions. And we only ask that you make it relevant to our topic and that we be respectful of one another while on air. The United States of America has a relatively short but yet powerful history of determination and triumph. However, it cannot be fully nor accurately told without mentioning the major contributions of such colonial figures as Prince Hall, an African-American equal rights activist. Tonight, we'll discuss the significant contributions of Prince Hall, who is the father of Negro Freemasonry and an educational equality advocate and defender of American independence. So again, the number is 657-383-0944. For the next 10 minutes or so, we will share our monologue, and we invite you to call in live and engage us in this conversation. To our Facebook friends, feel free to respond to questions that are posted. and to join us live here on this broadcast. We'll be happy to entertain you as we go forward tonight with this most important and informative topic. And again, the topic is Prince Hall, an African-American knot in America's history. We can look at America's history from a linear perspective and say that there is a rope that starts at one point and it goes continuously. While we don't know where the rope will end, we know that that rope allows people to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. And on that rope are knots that are indicative of major events and accomplishments, and milestones in the life and history of many people. But tonight we're going to talk about Prince Hall and a knot that he tied in America's history. Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, verses 9 through 4 reads, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him up." Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. I want to talk about Prince Hall the man. Most worshipful Grand Master Prince Hall, born in 1735, and he left this earth in 1807. Was an African-American who was noted as an abolitionist for his leadership in the free Negro community in Boston, Massachusetts, and as the founder of what is known today as Prince Hall Freemasonry. He lobbied for educational rights for black children and was very active in the Back to Africa movement, trying to find the origins and history of people of Negro descent. Prince Hall tried to gain England's enslaved and free blacks a place in Freemasonry, in the educational process in America, as well as the United States military at the time, which were the most crucial spheres of society one could participate in. He's considered the founder of black Freemasonry in the United States, rightfully so. And that group is known again as Prince Hall Masons or Freemasons. Hall formed the African Grand Lodge of North America. Prince Hall was unanimously elected as his Grand Master and served until his death in 1804. Now, what's interesting about that is that there were Caucasians who were Freemasons as well. And prior to the efforts of Prince Hall, no Negroes were allowed. Prince Hall was a free man, and there were others in Boston who were free as well. Perhaps you know the history of Crispus Attucks, who was one of the first Negroes to fall in the Revolutionary battle in a bar in Boston, Massachusetts. Well, Prince Hall was there as well. And because he wanted inclusion in what America was about at the time, he pushed for black men or Negroes to be active in Freemasonry because it was the order of the day. And he also wanted them to have an education that empowered them with knowledge and gave them sights on the future. Additionally, Prince Hall believed it was very, very important for them to position themselves in this upcoming new nation by making the ultimate sacrifice in its military. He joined the Congregational Church in around 1762, around the age of 27 years of age. He married an enslaved woman named Sarah Ritchie. She died in 1769. He married again, Flora Gibbs of Gloucester, in 1770. In David Gray's book, he states he was married for a second time to Sylvia Zilpha Ward Hall. In his book, an article about Prince for Africans in America by PBS, it stated that Prince Hall married a woman named Dalia, a servant outside of William Hall's household, and had a son named Primus in 1757. To say that he was very much active as a citizen, as a family man, as a God-fearing man, and as a patriarch of independence for America. When we think about the plight of many young people today who are seeking for examples of success, who want to understand early on how people of color, Negroes, helped form this nation. It didn't just start with slavery. We're talking about 1774, at least 2 years before America declared its independence from Great Britain. Now, I want to emphasize again that Hall encouraged freed blacks in Boston to serve in the military. Interestingly enough, though, he petitioned the colonial armies or the Massachusetts Committee of Safety to allow these blacks to fight. They didn't want to let them fight because they didn't want to recognize them as citizens, even in the colonial, in the colonies. But interestingly enough, Great Britain also offered Negroes an opportunity to fight. And once Great Britain said, yeah, we'll take blacks if they will fight for Britain, then all of a sudden, the hearts and minds changed of those individuals part of the Massachusetts Committee of Safety. Yeah, come on. Y'all fight for us. Fight for the colonial army. Fight for the Continental Army, rather. And then they reversed their decision. Hence, the introduction of Negroes in the Revolutionary battle. I think as a student of history, it's important to state that there is no part of American history where African Americans, Negroes, blacks, colored, does not have an indelible mark that can never be erased. Young people need to understand you didn't just pop out of here and you were not just a slave, but your ancestors made major contributions, as did Caucasian, in the forming and the founding of this country we call the United States of America. Now, having served in the Civil War, many African Americans expected but did not receive racial equality after the war ended. And even by 1789, when they finally got a constitution and established the United States of America, still over 50%ers of the signers of that Constitution were slave owners. Truth be told, even the author of the Declaration of Independence himself was a slave owner. Question is, do we burn the Constitution? Do we get rid of that? Does that have any place for Negro, blacks, or colored folks? If you do, you'll erase all that you've established yourself to become in the United States of America. And I would argue in the word abroad, and it would not be a wise thing. But lest we digress, let me stay focused on Prince Hall and his contribution. Understanding that the principles and concepts of Freemasonry, many say it's a secret organization, but I can tell you on good authority that it's not a secret organization, but rather an organization that has secrets, very much like you have a secret PIN to your bank account to protect what's in there. There are certain things reserved for members only. But I'll say to you, sadly, after 200 some plus years now, there have been even people in Prince Hall Freemasonry who have brought shame and dishonor to the order because they misrepresented, as many things have been. Again, lest I digress, let me focus on Prince Hall. What he knew is these men who were free and those that were fighting for freedom would identify themselves by these principles, then they can keep up, maintain, and even exceed the expectations of growth and happiness in the United States of America. What does it mean to have life, liberty, and happiness? He understood that these principles were directly correlated to it. And when Jefferson said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men," Hall understood that what Masonry do is take good men and make them better. And he understood that if they had that jump start, that platform, their lives could be greatly improved. So he encouraged them not only to join Freemasonry, but to work its tenets and serve in the military with the belief that when they did so, they will find freedom in this new country. Ultimately, it went down in Boston, Massachusetts. Hall and 14 other free black men petitioned for admittance into a white lodge in Boston, the St. John's Lodge. You know it, they were turned down. With grit and determination, they kept fighting. Having been rejected by the colonial Freemasons, Hall and 15 others sought and were initiated into Masonry by members of Lodge No. 441, the Grand Lodge of Ireland, on March 6, 1775. Can I tell you who was a member of that lodge and who was a master, or what they call a worship master head? The first president of the United States made these men Masons. It was attached to the British forces, however, and stationed in Boston. Hall and other freedmen founded African Lodge No. 1 after they became in the order and got their own establishment, and he was named its Grand Masters. There was a big fire in the area where all the white lodges and this one black lodge met. And if you didn't have this piece of paper that established you from the Grand Lodge in England, you didn't have nothing. In fact, your organization didn't exist. Well, Prince Hall's charter, as well as all the other Caucasian lodges, were in this building that caught fire. Brother by the name of Thomas Sanderson was one of those 15 men that Hall was made Masons with. Understanding the importance and the fact that if you lose it, if you snooze, you lose, he crawled through the fire, sacrificing his life potentially, because he knew that if they lost that charter, they may never have another chance. Why do I say that? Because that is a historical lesson that young people should learn today. Though things be tough, though you be denied, and though you feel as though somebody is working against you, never, ever give up. But have the grit and determination to keep fighting until you get that what you came for. And don't leave. Don't leave till you get what you're looking for. Prince Hall, later African Lodge No. 459 in 1784. And it has become the mother Grand Lodge for all Negro Masons in the United States as well as foreign jurisdictions. And we are honored to have such a historical figure to serve and to open the doors of opportunity to all those that are willing and able to join and be a part. We're going to open up our phone lines. We got my good friend, Pastor Ricky Waller, with us tonight, as well as 1098. And we want to welcome him. Pastor Waller, good evening.
Hey, now, good evening. How you doing, Pastor Doc Ray?
Mighty fine. Outcast, what's going on, my brother?
Just listening, interesting.
All right.
I'm okay.
Y'all tell me something. even if you're not a Prince Hall Freemason, and I should say that every good thing that has happened for black folk brethren, we've messed it up. I say we now. Didn't I say we? We done messed it up. We fight one another and we split with one another and we go other ways and we make a good thing bad, unfortunately. I'm guilty too, so that's why I'm trying to fix that. And to this day, our babies don't have anything really that they can look to and say, hey, that's solid. That's been solid. It remains solid. Well, you all heard the monologue. What do you think about that?
Well, my thought, racism at its best when it came to them not wanting blacks to come into their lodges. I don't know if this still exists today, but you still have a lot of white Freemasons during this period of time that would state that what Prince Hall did, his organization, is a joke, basically because most whites would say, you know, they don't like women and this and that and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, you know, that lodge, his name is still standing. Whites would say, well, you know, since I'm a Mason, I can go into any lodge in the United States, but can blacks go into the white lodges the same way?
Great point.
That's a question.
That's a great point. That's a great point. So, and I will say that up north and in Boston to this day, whites and blacks still meet in that area and in different parts of the north. But they haven't grown to that point in the south, Outcast. Now, there are some that have decent relationships. Even right here in the state of Tennessee, there are some decent relationships. But, yes, in terms of them actually regularly meeting and bonding as brothers, there's still a lot of work to be done there. But let me ask you this, Pastor Waller. Should that be a goal? Is that absolutely necessary?
Yeah, well, since I tuned in late, but I heard, you know, that you yourself have a lot of knowledge, man. I was bracing myself to tune in because I know for most of my life, I can only say that this happens. So, you know, when a person is in a bow-down position such as I was, I sometimes didn't know day or night, man. And know the slave mentality is still existing, you know, I don't know. Oftentimes I look back and I wonder, have it and will it always be a black and white thing with all these other people in the world? Wow. You know, it's interesting, man, and I just basically would like to just tap into that because I often think about that. You know, why is it that the black man is so focused on as if he need to stay in this one position that he's in, you know, and if this is accurate to say, it looks like, again, it looks like whoever is doing it intentionally is doing a fine job. I won't say he's good. I won't say it's good. I think it's a fine job. So are we self-destructing? That's a good question. Are we doing it to ourselves? Very good question.
Wow.
But is it to change? I would say we have to say that it is, man, because if not, man, it's like throwing in the towel and saying it's over. And I just you believe that because we have stood through the test of time. And I mean to take all the abuse for these many years, man, and still be standing.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, I just don't see what I'm saying. Okay, well, we're going today share equal rights, meaning everybody's equal and all that. I don't know, man. It's tough. It's tough. But the person has to be humble to admit when they're wrong now. The person has to be real.
You're right. I'm going to say this, though, Pastor. You stirred up something in me. Let me say this, though. Now, an outcast, look, I believe that Prince Hall knew 240-some, now almost 50 years ago, that if you got a rope, right, and you throw a rope out for safety, and If the rope has no knots and it gets wet, you're subject to, your hands are subject to do what?
Slip off.
The slide.
Yeah.
The slide when you go to pull. Is that right?
That's real.
But Prince Hall understood that we got to tie a knot in this thing from one generation to the next. And that will prevent us from slipping back into darkness, Outcast.
Oh, my.
But if we keep on fighting and we keep on focusing on hatred and animosity and racism and what have you, we can't even focus on pulling ourselves up from one knot to the next. Now, you'll never get to the top that way. You'll keep sliding backwards and backwards and backwards. What about that, Outcast?
I agree with that 100%, but, you know, I mean, on the line of racism, basically, you know, as black people, basically, they'll focus on the white man, you know, being, you know, racist, you know, biggest
and
things in nature. But you know,
sure.
I mean, look at the other races of people, you know, you got, you have a lot of Indian, well, you know, I won't call them Hispanics, I just call them Indian mix. You have a lot of Indians that don't like blacks. You have Chinese that don't like blacks. You have people all over the world that don't like blacks. But everybody hate each other is
amazing.
Actually what I'm trying to say. You know,
right.
Once we could get past the skin color and things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
you know, the better off we'll be. Now, he did raise a good question. Who's causing all this? Well, basically, it's your everyday environment. It's in the home.
Wow.
This is something that's taught. In some homes, it's taught. Some homes, it's not. I rephrase that. In some homes, racism is taught. In some homes, they're taught to love everyone. Don't look at the color of someone's skin.
Sure. And,
right.
You know, I don't want to take your place. But you said something that's key. It's been taught in our homes, and unconsciously so, I believe. You follow what I'm saying? Not just by whites, but black people are unconsciously instilling the notion that you got to hate somebody to be somebody. That's dangerous, man.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
That's true.
And you know, I look at you know, in our race, you know, all the cuteness going on, young guys, some of them teenagers, 14, 15, 16, up to 18 years old. A lot of them, you know, didn't even have children. You know, you killed that man. You know, you killed generations upon generations of seed. Sooner or later, you know, we won't hardly have any seed left in the bank.
You won't exist no more, will you?
No. I'm sorry, I'm done.
No. You know, gentlemen, here's the thing, though. And I think this is where we got it, because there are a lot of angry and frustrated people. I don't want people to think for a second that I am blind or unaware of the atrocities that has historically been placed on people of Negro descent. I don't want anybody to think that for a second. I get that. But here's the truth. Long before we recognize it, and when some people were in slavery, there were people of Negro ancestry tying a knot of opportunity. Now, we can spend our time today in 2017 being angry and frustrated and cloud our judgment, or we can ask ourselves, where are the opportunities for me? You know, the funny thing about it, Pastor Wilder, most of us ain't going to never leave America's soil.
Most of the vast majority
will never leave America. So when, you know, you're angry and you're looking for a fight everywhere you go, all over the country, in a place you'll never leave, why not look for some kind of way you can establish yourself and have some peace and some tranquility and life, liberty, and happiness? Just a thought. The number is 657-383-0944. If your list question hits you, get back with me. Give us a call here. We want to hear from you. I'm sorry, Pastor. Go ahead. Pastor Wilder. Pastor Waller? Okay. Are you there, Outcast?
Yes, I'm here.
Pastor Waller,
yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
The moral of the story is that when you're seeking peace and you just thinking like, you know, what is it, why is it so hard to adjust to being able to say, well, the world is at peace now. That would
mm-hmm.
be wonderful.
Right.
But it wouldn't bring forth dividends.
Right.
Some people offer destruction.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And Oxford's real well from it. So
mm-hmm.
we got to consider what to do to be able to have peace amongst one another, man. Just saying, you know, Outcast
right.
put it very, very well in perspective, you know, and I think that it's time for us who really actually believe that change is possible and it can be accomplished, you know,
mm-hmm.
because well, you go into the Word of God when you know it, and when you don't, you can't go into it. And that's just where I was. I didn't know anything about the Word of God. But once I learned it, first thing I heard in the book of John 16:33, it says, Jesus said, in me you have peace. I was like, man, peace. But in the world, he said, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome
right.
the world. So, with that, it's saying, okay, the peace is important. So what's wrong with the world having peace by now anyway, you were saying? But I'm just, man, I'm amazed by it.
Yeah.
So much hatred. So much hatred.
Yeah.
And it's still,
you know, and you say something that's very key, because in reality, we find ourselves in a position where it takes more resources up and get into a battle with somebody than it does to use your brain, man, and lay a foundation. You know what I mean? And I wonder if we waste our time on things that don't matter.
And wasting time. You're talking about young people killing each other, you know. And
I'm talking about old people, too, man. I'm even talking about old folk, man. College-educated folk. Don't make me call no names. I'm trying not to call no names out, Cass.
Well, I don't do it, you know. I mean, just hold that. You know? I mean, because like, if certain individuals are listening, you know, that goes towards, they do understand who you are talking about, you know.
Right.
Me personally, you know, I like what you say though, Reverend Docker. Every time you say it, you know, it's the truth. People think because they go through certain trials and tribulations in life that it's over. It's not over. You have
it
to
ain't
keep
over.
Moving. You and actually, the first step is God. The second step is educating your mind, getting yourself in a position to where that no one can hold you back.
Right.
You know. It's a lot of people, you know, that been where I've been to prison, their mindset is still off, saying, man, it's over. I can't get this job. Well, find God first. And then you go to school, you educate yourself. You get into a field that you know that you can get over into. Now, you know, I listen to a lot of people when they're talking about society. Blacks don't do this, blacks don't do that, blacks don't grow this, blacks don't grow that. You know, it's just talk. Now, they sit up and talk. Why don't you try to make a difference? You pick up those books, go to college, get you some degrees and whatever you're talking about, and proceed on. You know, the only that can hold anyone back as themselves. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is yourself. No, yourself. That's absolutely right. I don't mean to cut you off. Man, you're right on it, sir. You're right on it. The truth is that anger and that frustration, there's something you can do with that energy. And I wonder, though, how many people really understand that. And that's really one of the motivations for this show. I want to give historical examples of success and people who took a lemon. See, they tried to deny these, not only did they try to deny these free men of the opportunity to have life and liberty, but they didn't even want to include them into the norms of American society during colonial time. But they said
and,
Go ahead, sir.
I was just going to say
in conclusion that what they did was to take that lemon, found water and sugar, and made lemonade out of it. You know?
That's right.
That's what they did. They did not allow that to stop them. They pushed for education. They pushed for equality. They pushed for inclusion in the military because those were the sacrifices. Those were the contributions that was going to tie that knot in the rope that allowed them to move up to the next rung in the rope. You know, you can choose to be stagnant and angry, or you can choose to be wise and progressive. But it's your choice. It's your choice. Go ahead, Outcast. What were you going to say?
And I agree. Talking about Press Hall in the Freemasonry, you know, the Freemason, you know, concerning how, you know, the whites, you know, didn't want, you know, to let that organization exist. It brings me back to the Klan. All right.
Okay.
This is my premise.
Okay.
When they started the Freemasons during the time of Prince Hall, when that was going on, you had, it was basically white. And during that period of time, you know, Freemasonry, you know, they were striving, you know, making a way. And if you was not a Mason, they didn't want to have anything to do with you. And if you had a
That's
business,
true.
They would do any and everything that they could to make it hard on you to run you out of business. And this is why doing it to whites. Going back
That's
to the
right.
Klan,
That's right.
When that was established, it was basically, you know, to keep them white men in order, taking care of children and things of that nature. And then it turned, and then they turned to blacks, you know, harming blacks and things of this nature. You had whites during that period of time of the Freemasonry. You know, I would suspect and suppose that those white Masons that were doing that to them, they said, hey, okay, we're going to fight against you. Now, going
right.
back to Britain. Britain stepped in,
okay.
And okay, all right, here comes George Washington, you know, with Prince Hall, you know, talk to him about, you know, letting the blacks into the military and things of that nature. Nathan Forrest, he left the Klan. He went back up, well, you know, the part of Tennessee up there. And, you know, he you know, told the blacks that they're having a problem, you know, come to him. Certainly, the racism and that Aryan fixture, that Aryan thought, you know, and it just gets the best of them every time. And even in those organizations, they what they call themselves are Illuminated.
Well,
right?
That's what other folks say, but that's not the nature of the order, Illuminati. But yeah, so what you're saying though is true. It was a badge of honor socially to be there,
right.
And this was the order by which a man established himself politically, socially,
right.
economically, during the colonial period of America.
Right.
And it wasn't because Prince Hall and them were black or anything like that. As it, you know, interestingly enough, what most people don't know is he was a president of the Confederacy, not the United States. I'm trying to remember his name now, but he was the first black man that was a president. He was only president for 2 years because they didn't have the Constitution yet. His name going to come back to me.
Oh, he'll come.
But my point is that it wasn't so much that they were black as it was that if you can exclude these people, because you made a great point, there were poor whites who
right.
were not invited into this society. Or to the ranks of this society, which is why this is so significant that Prince Hall saw that he had the wisdom to see that this was important, right? And
right.
not only did he have the wisdom to see, but he had the tenacity to drive to force that inclusion. And it happened, and it's happened. So, I mean, there are a lot of, again, my point is, gentlemen, that we have to teach our young people that you can choose to be productive with knowledge, or you can let that same knowledge cause you to self-destruct.
And I agree, you know, self-destructive, some of them that are in college now, they are destructive. And, they end up paying for it. And that's money and time that has went down the drain. Because I don't know, well, you know, people get mixed up into things. Some things that they feel are harmless, they are very detrimental. They're deadly.
That's it.
Frat parties and things of that nature, haze or whatever, you know. I mean, it gets out of hand and, you know.
Sure. And you can't get that time back.
You can't.
Right.
I got Charles
on the line. I'm just going to give Charles. Okay. You've been listening to us, Charles. Any comment, questions?
I'm still listening, trying to see what's going on. I'm listening.
Okay. we're talking about Prince Hall, the founder of Negro Freemasonry in America, and we're talking about the notion that he tied a knot in American history for other people of Negro descent to advance themselves. During his time, the challenge was being included into the ranks of society in Freemasonry, as well as having a quality education and being able to participate in the military, the Continental Army. He had to fight for that. And there was a time further in American history where they didn't want to recognize blacks in the army. They had to fight yet again, you know. Interestingly enough, though, gentlemen, when you think about the 13th Amendment, it was supposed to free you, right? The 14th Amendment was supposed to guarantee you rights of citizenship. I'm sorry, guarantee you equal rights or fair treatment, right? Not cruel and unusual punishment. And then the 15th Amendment was supposed to give you the right to vote and to choose your electors or who represent you. But somehow we still fighting, though. What's the story? Why y'all can't get it together, Pastor Wallace? What's wrong with y'all?
What I'm hearing right now, you know, I think it was intentional, you know, all those things that you just named. And if the law was given but never obeyed, I mean, who's breaking the law?
Wow.
You know, and that means if I can ask that question, you know what I mean, maybe someone
That's
can answer
question.
That question, you know, because I think, know that I'm hearing, you know, some powerful input here, and I go back to the seed, you know, we talked about the power made known of, and if we can be stripped from that, especially a good seed. Now, I know there's a couple of types of seeds, you know, one good and one bad. And if a person is planting good seed, you expect what to come back from it, you know?
Right.
A good fruit.
Right.
Good seed.
Right.
But if you plant bad seed, you know what you expect from that. And I was told, how it came on the field, you know, I didn't get a chance to mention it because we weren't on Tuesday. Wednesday, we was up on the field, up on the corner. And,
how did it go, man?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
It went well, man. The man, the preacher came out, and he preached about the seed, you know, planting the good seed on good ground. And in other words, people that are caught up out there in the streets, you know, they're good ground, man. And he said, you just keep on planting the good seed. He said, because when you go to sleep, you know, the enemy comes and plant, you know, what kind of seed? The bad seed. You know, don't worry about it. Just keep planting good seeds. He said, in time to come, you know, I know what will take place. He said, the one that know about the good and the bad seed, he would take and he would separate when the time to come. So don't go uprooting it right now. Just keep on planting good seeds. So it was amazing that Outkast made known about the seed. And if we're out here destroying each other, it won't be nobody to plant any seed. You know, and I think that has to be planned by someone that's causing the bad seed to be put in motion, which means that you have to have the necessary equipment for that to take place. And what is the equipment?
Right.
You know, the Bible says that for we're not ignorant of your devices. I mean, if he gets the advantage over us, I mean, hey, man, listen, the advantage means they have the upper hand. So unless Satan gets we're not ignorant of his devices. So what is the advice? What is the devices? What does he use? And, man, I think
right.
he'll use a person. He'll use a place. I think he'll use a thing. You see? So it's hard to shake that if you don't have good information or good seed being put down. And I don't want to spend a lot of time, myself personally, blaming someone when I know this is the day that the Lord God has made. You see,
right.
when
okay.
he made it, that means that I have all rights just as well as any other person in the whole world. And if we all
right.
have that concept, realize that we are somebody and stop letting somebody tell us that we're somebody or not, you know, if that happens to be the case, because from what I'm hearing, there's been a lot of that going on. You know,
mm-hmm.
and let's be honest, man. I mean, that to me, from what I heard about how it used to be, you know, I started out early, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you have it. I spent half of my life nodding, so I really, really, you know, it didn't make no difference, you know, what was going on because I didn't have, I was lost. I was
you wasn't awake to it.
Yeah, I was in a deep sleep, man. I mean, you know, nod for 20-plus years, man. I mean, that's devastating to me. But I still know somebody caused that to take place, you know.
Yeah.
Traveling, then I go now, in a nod for 20-plus years, man. And so now that I'm
okay.
awakened, I'm like, look what happened. Goodness. And it's still going
yeah.
on, brother. So
yeah.
time for a good seed.
Okay. Well, I remember that name, Outcast. Brother's name was Brother John Hansen.
Okay.
Have y'all ever looked at the $2 bill?
I haven't saw one in a while.
In a while. Well, on the $2
bill. Well, you know, they did have those $2 bills in circulation at one point.
Well,
but
they,
I never looked at the
base
on it.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, watch this. On the $2 bill, Charles, there's a picture of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And what a lot of black folk don't realize is to the mid right of the picture, just where those men are standing up, there is a face in the background of John Hanson, who was the first black president of the United States.
And they said $2 bill fake. You remember that old saying?
Yeah, they said fake out $2 bill.
I wonder why they said that.
Well, at one point, they had them $2 bills in the circulation. Reverend Watt, I think when you and I were coming along, the 60s, 70s,
yeah.
and stuff like that. You know, you remember that, Reverend Doctor?
I remember my parents holding on to every time they got a $2 bill. They said you hold on to that because that's rare and that's special. I do remember that. I do recall that being a focus. I think they took them out of circulation in the Department of Treasury.
They did, yeah.
And then they brought them back. But even now, it's not a very popular bill that you see used. Most
nope.
people hold on to those, man.
Right.
Hey, Reverend
yes,
Walker.
Sir.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do when I go to the bank of my look. Give me 10 of those $2 bills. Give me 10 of those $2 bills, please. Well, if you can't give me, give me two if you don't have 10. Just find
right.
me one.
I wonder if you don't have them, Outcast, when you get there. I wonder, man. Let me know. Go and get them things.
Hey, that's the bank. That's the bank. It's supposed to have real one. And I'm going to take that. Look here, I got a magnifying glass. I'm going to take that magnifying glass. I'm going to put it up there. And I'm going to look straight back in the back. Okay.
That's right. That brother sitting in the back.
For the information, Rubber Doctor, appreciate it.
That brother sitting in the back, name was John Hanson. And he served as president of the Confederate States for 2 years.
Right.
2 years. Yeah, I believe it was
you learn something every day. Yes.
Yeah,
I believe it was from, actually it was, he served from 1781 to 1782. That's when he served as president of the Confederate States before they became the United States in 1789. And they codified the Constitution. They were operating on Articles mm-hmm. of Confederation at the time. But, yeah, I mean, why do I say that? Why is that important? Why does anybody need to know that? Because we got young brothers around here right now, mad as hell, ready to squab up and kill everything in their path because they say that there is no examples and they ain't got nothing or nobody they can look to for example. If they understood this and they understood that who you are today is because somebody tied a knot years ago.
Yes, sir.
You just haven't learned how to pull yourself up by the knot.
Man,
see, we still gotta throw that rope out to them, Pastor Wong. They looking for the rope,
I like that, but you gotta have that knot in it so you can get a grip.
You gotta put that knot in the rope, baby.
Right.
Yeah.
So when it rains.
grab the rope, but they can't hold on because
they
it's
can't hold
slide.
On.
Yeah, wait.
Help me hold it, though. Help me hold it,
though. Tug of war, ain't it? Okay.
Well, I mean, that's where we are. That's where we are. And it's good people, man. It's good people. See, the sad part, gentlemen, is it's old cats, too, that don't know this. And I think both of y'all said this before. If you don't know, you can't tell nobody what you don't know. I know Pastor Wallace said it all the time.
That's right. That's it.
Well, you know the way I look at it. I'm sorry, go ahead on Red Wall. Sorry.
No, go ahead. No. Go ahead.
You know, the way I look at it, the way that I see that is I mentioned the allegory of the cave once. And
yeah, you did.
You know,
you sure did.
And, you know, all of them were chained up in the cave, you know what I'm saying, handcuffed, you know, to the ceiling or whatever. One of them got away and left out of the cage. And
Lord have mercy.
You know, he came across a person, you know. A teacher and started teaching him. He went back into the cave. He uncuffed the rest of them, and he started telling them about what happened outside the cave, and they got angry. They wanted to fight him. I mean, this is just like older guys my age, Reverend Waller age, and older.
Yeah,
you know,
they still
stuck down there in that hole. And I go back to the old concept, if you see a fool sleep, don't bump his head and try to wake him up. Because they don't get angry.
Oh,
you know, now, if you go to him with a lie, Reverend Waller, if you go to him with a lie, oh, they're going to eat them lies up all day long. But once you turn around and start to tell the truth, oh, they're angry.
It's going to be a hard
thing. Right or wrong, Reverend Waller? Huh?
Yeah, you're right. That's right, because that's the only thing going to free us up is the truth. And so sometimes you just don't want to hear truth, man. But the lie sounds so good, that's sad.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah.
But,
can I tell you why that is, Outcast? Because anywhere you have truth, it is based on order and discipline. And I'm going to tell you something about my people, man. Not everybody, but too many of my people don't want to be in order, and we don't want to discipline ourselves in this thing.
I agree.
So when you come with a lie, it's already based on what? Disorder, something that is not real, that ain't functional.
That's right.
Right.
But
man.
The truth means the truth don't change. That means you got to get with it, not try to make it get with you.
Yes,
sir.
Folk can't even get saved. Folk can't even get saved.
How do Charles feel about that?
Well, that's a good question. Charles, what do you think about that, man?
Say it again. I'm listening, though. It's tough, man. My mind's so deep, man. Sometimes I gotta come back to earth. I be getting too far out there sometimes. I'm listening. I'm listening, but it's a liar. Are we talking about truth, man? That's a deep one. That is a deep
Okay.
Yeah,
Charles, all I was saying is one of the reasons a lot of people don't benefit from truth. Is because Outcast was saying they can bring you the truth and they'll reject that. They'll fight you about it. They'll scorn you. They'll try to demon that. But if you give them a lie, they eat that up all day long. And I said the reason they fight truth is because it's based on order, structure, and discipline. You know? And when people don't want to be in order, and don't want to be disciplined, they want the freedom to go and come and do whatever they want to without any accountability, that's a problem. And they can't get with truth because of that. Now, one thing about it is the text says if you know the truth, it'll make you free.
Yes, sir.
Only if you know it.
Only if you know it.
That's right.
Hey, some of the truth will make you depressed too, though. You know too much of the truth. Some church business. I ain't gonna go there, but yeah.
No. Go. Come on, give it to me.
I'm in the barber shop. I deal with a lot of people. They call themselves conscious people. You know what I'm saying? They're conscious
right.
people, and I can't argue. They got some good debates. And they got some good stuff. I can't even answer. I can't even go in the Bible and find it for them. They got some good points. There's a lot of that going on right now. I can't explain where Jesus came from. I don't know where Jesus' tomb came. I don't know about the blue eyes and the blue hair. There's a lot of stuff. They got some real good points. I get where they're coming from, a lot of people in that perspective. But I'll be trying to hit with the truth and anything with their truth. I can't even fight it. They got a point.
Wow. Wow.
Picture. And this is tied in the United States. Let me ask you a question. I did know who drew that picture, that blonde hair, blue eyed Jesus, but Reverend Doctor, I forgot exactly who it was. You know, but this is America, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got
the Council of
Nicaea.
The Council of Nicaea in Egypt.
That's right. Michelangelo was the consultant that
day. Who drew the picture? Yeah, you
are. Yeah. Michelangelo
did that to appease the Caucasian people, right?
No,
you know,
well,
he did that to bring
enough.
The Caucasian people.
Now, Charles mentioned the Nicene Council, which coincided with the zeitgeist of the age where there was this fight over whether or not the Catholic Church had autonomous power over everybody. And some people then, Charles, were trying to say, no, we want to be able to define the Bible and God for ourselves, right? Well, in the Sistine Chapel in Rome, Hannibal had already around 3-something BC, A.D., had already conquered it, right? And he brought North African features there. In fact, the pre-Madonna, the first Virgin Mary, looked like a black woman. And they weren't going to have that.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to have that. So they hired Michelangelo to go in there and repaint those figures in the Sistine Chapel. But we ain't about to have that, man.
Wow.
Great, man.
There you go. Yeah,
because
you know,
they wanted God
but,
to look like them.
I heard people call him Yahshua, Yahweh. What's his name for real? Which one is it?
Well,
not
even let's understand, and we're kind of veering off from our topic, but just right quick, Charles, before we digress too far. And that's a good topic,
okay.
Charles. We gotta hit that one right there. But the truth of the matter is that when we read about God and so forth in the English Bible, we haven't even touched the surface of Hebrew and Greek, right?
No.
Even Christ himself said that he came after the lost sheep of the house of Israel, which was an ancient Hebrew nation of people that had an ancient language long before Greek and Latin came into existence. And that's what talk about Yahshua. That's what they're talking about. They're speaking from the context of that language. But that's a whole nother subject, man.
Yeah, it is.
Charles,
yeah.
Don't take me down that road tonight. Don't take me there.
We're talking about truth, though. We're talking about truth.
We are talking about truth.
But I do have one thing to say about Press Hall.
Okay, go ahead.
Was he actually from Barbados?
His father was.
Do they actually know?
Actually, his mother was an African woman. And when they say when they really talk about Africa, you got to realize that after the African diaspora, and even when Europeans began to introduce themselves into Africa in the 1400s, a lot of blacks went to different parts of the world. So when we talk about Prince Hall's mother, she was what was considered to be an African woman. And so they had presence all over the world. That's what it means to be Afro, to come out of Africa and spread yourself abroad throughout the universe or throughout the world. But so and his father was said to be a British leather maker. So that's how he came into be.
Okay. Sounds good.
But I just want to emphasize here for our listening audience again, we got about 30 minutes here before we wrap up. Man, time is flying. 657-383-0944. Give us a call. Challenge us. hear your comments, your questions that you might have. We'll be happy to entertain them here next 30 minutes. In fact, let me do this, gentlemen, and I'm going to, with this announcement, I'm going to share a few other things. But let me just give this brief announcement, then we'll come right back and wrap the last segment of the show up here.
Okay.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Cashman didn't get my check today. Oh, why? Because they want more pay. Buses on strike, gonna raise a fare so they can help the roofies.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're talking about Prince Hall, an African-American knot in America's history. You just heard the message, people make the world go round. I don't know what other folk are thinking about, but if you want something to get done, it's going to take people to do it. Because God ain't coming out of heaven, crack the sky, and do nothing for you. Have I got a witness?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. He put his thing.
If you don't do it for yourself, it ain't going to get done. Is that right?
Yes, sir. But someone has to help you along the way.
The reason why I say he's done his thing, man, I mean, you know, he already know what the end is going to be like, so he's giving us a chance to do some things and to apply some things in our lives, you know. And
you
that's
go.
Why he says, you say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So he gave us the foundation. Now,
yes,
it's up to us to learn of him. And if we put him first, and which a lot of that don't go on today, and I understand why. You see, anytime you hide something potentially that's good news from someone who deserves it,
right?
What do you get from it? I mean, you get the advantage. In other words, you know, it's called the upper hand. If one have the upper over us, man, I mean, we coming from a form of you don't know what we know type thing. And in other words, we know what the Bible says. We may not apply it, but we know what it says, and we don't want you to know what it says. You know,
right.
So if we learn what it says, and he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And
learn.
That means that he's out. I mean, you don't know me, but you can learn of me. And that's amazing, man, within itself. And how to get what you call being free. You know, I had to get that from him, man. You know, him who's able to make one free. That's where I got my information from. Had I not got it from him, I'd have been in deep trouble, man. May not even be talking right now about it. You know, but when I got with the truth, I got free, you know,
right.
from that bondage. It's devastating
yeah.
out there. It is devastating.
Sure.
I just want you to know. I was going to invite all that wisdom that's on this phone right now. I was going to invite it out on Wednesday, but again, didn't get a chance to come in on Tuesday. And so I just
yeah.
think you,
yeah.
you need to know that deal is still available, brother. If y'all want to get out there and, you know, and
sure.
share some of that wisdom that you got with the people, it's all right. Because
right.
I think you all are rooted with it. So, you know, it's no harm in it.
Yeah.
There's no
let
harm.
Let me say that I was traveling on Tuesday, so I wasn't sedentary enough to you know, to air the
right.
show. And my mom is pretty ill right now, so things are somewhat tentative for me. But we're going to strive to. We had three guests lined up, so we're going to strive to keep on moving on with airing our shows there. But we'll you know if you're with our great Facebook group, that's the best way to kind of keep up with where we are with everything. But yeah. So we're going to get back. We're going to stay on the grind. We hadn't got off the grind. We're going to stay on the grind. But those are some of the things that are in play right now for me. But we're grateful for all of our listening audience that participates with us. And we hope that you're gaining something from what we've said and done already. And Lord willing, we'll continue to do more. I wanted to ask this question there, Pastor Waller, if that's
uh-huh.
all right. The,
yes,
our leading text from our monologue, Ecclesiastics, fourth chapter, ninth verse says, two are better than one. Goes on further to say, because they have a good reward for their labor. Then verse 10, I pose the question, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help
amazing.
Him up.
Man, amazing. That is amazing.
I got is, my yeah. question is, why we keep trying to tie our knot as a single Windsor and not a double Windsor? I'm sorry,
okay.
Y'all know what a double Windsor knot is when you tie a necktie on.
Oh, you're that necktie.
Yes, right.
You don't want no one hand,
do you? Y'all know what a double wind
mm-hmm.
is, don't you? That little skinny guy
yeah.
don't hold. It don't last too long. But that double wind, you understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Why are
okay.
we trying to? Why are we not working with one another? Because two ties are stronger than one. Amen.
Mm.
Is that right?
Well. The greed play a part in it?
What'd you say?
Yeah,
about
you
could greed play a part in it? I think greed play a part in it. Greed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Education can bring people come together too, though. When you graduate from high school, you go on your way to college, you separate yourself right there from the group of people you grew up with anyway. So we go separate
wow.
directions. We don't come together. We talk
if you don't
find
come
a pair. Uh-huh.
That is if
yeah,
you don't come back, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That is
you can't come back, definitely, yeah.
And see, that's the problem, though, Charles. Some of us, we get a few cookies and don't get a little milk with it, and we done forgot from which we trying to come.
Mm-mm.
That's true, though. That is really true.
Look at what the text yeah. says. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But it goes on to say,
yeah.
be careful, woe to him that is alone when he falls, because he ain't got
yeah,
nobody.
Man.
We sometimes trip, man, and we, you know, bump out of noggin. But if we have somebody that we can trust to hold, to bring us up when we fall, help me, Holy Ghost.
Yeah, that's a lonely fault. Not bad. Good.
When you paying for the education, it's kind of hard to come back when you had to pay for it. You don't want to share it with nobody. Like,
why not?
Say what?
Wait a minute, Charles. Now that ain't what it's all about, man.
It ain't, but that's what's going on.
Wow. You said something
key. Hey, Reverend Doctor.
Yes, sir.
That's you. But Reverend Doctor, now I can kind of agree with Charles, you know, with that statement he made. Because you have some people that have knowledge and education, and they're not pass anything on to lift someone else up. Like yourself, like Reverend Waller, you know, you all give. You know, I don't have that much knowledge, but the knowledge I have, I give now. Charles made a good point on that. You got some of them that are greedy. They don't want you to know what they know. They don't want
Man.
You to prosper the way that they're prospering.
I'm about to mess Charles up right now. And guess what, Charles? There's a lot of folk in the pulpit. There's a lot of folk in the pulpit that know more than they tell it, the average person.
Yeah, you better know it. Everybody in that pulpit knows more than the average person. That's true.
And
I don't think they do it intentionally. It is sometimes you feel like you're the chosen one, and you feel like nobody else don't get it out here. So you feel like, you just don't share this because I don't know. I feel like if you knew
but
better, you'd be doing better.
Charles, that's what the Catholic bishops were doing back in the 1500s when they told people you got to pay me penance to get to heaven. Now we're not gonna let you read the text in Hebrew or Latin or Greek, but you gotta come to us. We'll read it for you, but you gotta give us money in order for us.
Man.
Ooh, man. That's serious.
There it is right there. There
you don't even know what that text color free. You don't even know the difference. You can't read for yourself, you can't see for yourself. Man, it's like important to have that discernment, man. You gotta have pray for discernment out here. God will show you out here. I promise you, we'll be able to discuss this prayer about it. Pray for this discernment while you're reading that Bible.
What Prince Hall understood is with the process of education, one can find freedom for themselves. They ain't got to wait on nobody to give them freedom. They can find it themselves.
Mm.
That's why one of the three knots he tied in American history was is to know by education and to be introduced into the structures of society, and lastly, to be able to participate in the fight for freedom and independence. Those were the three knots that he tied in America's rope.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
You know, so, I mean, the question is, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
It's hard to share education with the same brother who will turn around and rob you, though. It is, I promise.
What?
I've seen people take something from me and turn around and use it against you, man. We can get past that. We can trust one another with knowledge, with a share, but we can't trust one another. Can't.
No. Okay. Mm.
Man,
Pastor Waller, what do you do with a cat like that? You got to whoop him before you give him something good for.
I think that discipline is good for you, you know. It doesn't feel good in the beginning. But it's good. See, I remember those days, you know, when I had to be disciplined, you know, it didn't feel good in the beginning, but it was good for me in the process of getting it, man, because later on it did some good. For instance, you know, let's just say, for instance, if I'm out there and I need someone to throw me the rope, and they throw me a rope with no grip on it, you know, that means they really don't. But if you throw me a rope with a grip, you get a grip. Now it's up to me to grab a hold of it, right? So, you know, and that selfish thing that Brother Charles was talking about earlier, you know, it's that mentality, I got mine, you get yours. But it don't go like that in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a gentleness, looking to thyself, so be tempted. And it says, bear ye another's burden. That means that you're concerned. You know, if you got free, show someone else how to get free. And that's what Outkast was talking about. You know, I'm not reaching out because I just want to reach out. I'm reaching out because I understand. And that means that if somebody else out there doing what I used to do, and then if I can get somebody else free, then somebody else can help somebody get free. And all of a sudden, you'll see a lot of free people, man, saying, hey, man, there's nothing wrong with being free. I thought being miserable was a going thing. You know, and that's the way it seems like people are enjoying. Them people are not enjoying themselves out there. They're miserable, man, and they just need someone to step out there and let them know that I'm going to throw you this rope now, and this rope is going to cause you to get free. Don't you know they just may grab that rope? But if you don't take the rope out there, you know, you just defeat the purpose of being free, man. You're being selfish, and that right there is not good for the kingdom of God system, brother. From my learning, yeah.
Well, no, that makes sense. I believe you snuck a preacher in on us, man. That's what I think.
Oh man.
I believe you just slipped a preacher in on us right there. No, but
yes, sir.
I want to go back to Charles. I want to go back to his point that you know, some people you're scared to give them enlightenment to, and then I'm gonna correlate that with what Outkast was saying. Some of our people, man, when you come to them with the unadulterated truth that's going to change their life, they become so afraid of the prospect of change that they feel like they need to just hurry up and shut you up and eliminate you before you bring them, before you expose them. But guess what? We have a perfect example and a fella that went on a hill called Golgotha over 2,000 years ago. He came to people, and he only tried to enlighten them as to how they might benefit from the right to the tree of life and life more abundantly. Get what they did to him? They put him up against a known thief and a liar and a robber and let the people choose. And those same folk that he came to help Charles, they said, give us Barabbas and take care.
I look at what they did with Jesus. So he's speaking to truth. They hung him on the cross. So you know I ain't got a fighting chance out here.
Jesus,
man.
Hey, Charles, must he bear this cross alone and all the world go free? Charles, must he bear the cross alone and all the world go free? There's a cross for everyone, brother. There's a cross for you and me.
Yeah, it is.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Pastor.
No. You're right on top of it. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that where there is no cross, is no crown.
Uh-huh.
And some folk want the glory of wearing a golden crown, but they don't want to carry no cross.
My goodness, that's amazing.
Now,
So you got to bear that. You know, you got to bear that cross, brother. You got to be able to bear it. Go ahead, man.
Now, interestingly enough, on his way to Golgotha, I'm told that there was a North African Syrian by the name of Simon who was willing to say, hey, man, let me give you a break, brother.
Hey, gonna pick it up.
Can I help you, brother? Can I help you out, brother? Yeah. Look, that look hard. That look heavy on your back, man. Let me help you out for it.
Sir.
Where the Simons at today? Where the Simons at?
Huh?
They're young now. You know, it's a young generation of grandparents and grandmamas. Grandmama 35.
Oh, man.
Big grandmama 42. It's a lot of lost education and good fundamental basic stuff that kept things in the structural pattern out there.
Okay. Well, certainly that tells us. Well, certainly that tells us what place our work, don't it, gentlemen? It tells us where to work here. Look at time. Look at time. We got under 9 minutes now to go. Powerful conversation, gentlemen. We've been talking about Prince Hall and American Knot. African-American, rather, not in American's history. And, again, I want to emphasize before we leave the importance of knowing the examples, not just because we were black, but certainly if you're black and you feel lost and you feel left out, guess what? You ought to know that there is an opportunity for you to grow and to be somebody, because they're prime examples of how this thing go down and how it works, you know? And the truth of that is, it doesn't matter what your plight in life is or where you come from. It's on you to make a difference for yourself. You know, the greatest contribution made by Prince Hall was that before the United States of America declared its independence from Great Britain in 1776, through his personal sacrifice, the right worshipful Grand Master Prince Hall laid the foundation for Negro, colored, black, Afro-American, African-American, however you want to call yourself, children, to know that you got a right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness in this land we call the United States of America. Now, you can fight, look for the next battle, or you can focus on your pursuit of those things, knowing that they're examples of how to do it.
Oh man.
Which one have we not tried? Which one you just named? I'm trying to figure out which one have we not tried out here.
Say that again.
Yeah.
Cause I know we've been in this situation for a while. I'm trying to figure out which one have we not tried yet to do to prosper out here.
I'm
gonna get them. You can
find. You know.
Uh-huh.
You know, Charles, to say that nobody is doing anything productive or good would be untrue. The issue is that there are so many people that are not doing well that it looks like nobody's doing anything good. When you look at the whole or its totality. And that's why we have to encourage unified effort amongst ourselves.
You're right, because I believe there's a lot of intelligent people out here. I just can't expect it costs money to be what you're trying to be out here. Now, everybody got gifts, but it's limited because you got to pay. You got to have money to pursue. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't have money to pursue, it makes you discouraged. I mean, everybody got to know do it. Everybody know how to make money, but then when you try to go pursue it and find out how much it costs to be what you're trying to be. Then that's what discourages me. Again, that's where drugs start kicking in. You want to sell something to get to the next level. Because you try to get it honestly and work through it. How long you think it'd take to save up $100,000, honestly, though, from working a job? Paying bills and eating and taking care of kids. And how long you think it takes to really come up with that money? Individual.
You sure make me feel bad right now.
Well,
I feel so easy
well,
at that.
When you're working as two, no more than one, and you're tying knots together, it doesn't take as long. But what we got to do is to get past separatism and trying to do it by ourselves and unifying ourselves. But there you go. That's a short answer. But there's hope. The good news is there's hope. There's hope. Man, doggone it. 5 minutes, Jim. Wrap me up, Outcast. Give me something that I can hold on to.
Okay. Well, with Charles, you know, he's been talking about money. Now, let's go back to Golgotha. Okay, the two thieves. You had Dismas on the right. Gessler was on the left. Dismas came from a poor family. Gessler came from a rich family, you know. But you know, then he was a robber, right? Whatever. But the thing is, a lot of people are born into money. and run away from it.
Okay.
When it comes to riches, you can't buy your way into heaven. Now I'm a hold out. That killed a rich man's son.
My Lord.
He didn't have to do what he was doing.
Okay. Wow. Man, what am I going to do with y'all, man? What am I going to do with y'all?
Stay with us, brother. Stay with us.
Yeah.
Pastor Wallace, give us something. Go ahead, Charles, right quickly. Give final thought, Charles. Hold on 1 second, Pastor. Final thought,
Charles.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, final thought. Maybe if we can do it, instead of just coming together as a whole, maybe we can just do it in a direct house. We can just manage, you know, the kids and stuff in the future, like within just a house. Like, you got your kids, they working and stuff. But to the father and you the parent, maybe if y'all can work together as a family team and come together on the income to make something big. It's kind of hard right now to trust one another. If you can start within each individual house and y'all can come up with a money together, no, you got the daughter working, you got the kids working, of course, mom and dad working. Y'all can come up with some money and put something together, then link up with another family who's doing the same thing, maybe you can come together like that. But overall, as a whole, I don't know if we're ready for that level yet. I know anything is possible, but I do trust God. Maybe we can just start in the immediate household or trying to make it come together instead of just putting the kids out there on the street and letting them stand for themselves. No, let them stay home. Save up that money, and y'all come together, then meet with the Johnson's family who doing the same thing. You know, the Johnson's can come together. Maybe y'all can get a McDonald's or something. Maybe that'd be a better approach. Yeah,
Point well taken. Pastor, go ahead. We got about 2.5 minutes here.
Yeah, that was a great information there, too, about family-oriented, getting to do things and building an empire because you spoke about a lot of money, and I want to share that briefly about I feel like the world's greatest food. I had a couple of dollars, didn't know what to do with it, man. And so, you know, I applied for what I just heard. And in order to build something, to get enough money to bring forth businesses and things like that, it can be done. I just believe that. But the Word of God still does say this. It says, now we that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the and not to please our people. And it says that each one please his neighbor for that which is good unto edifying. For Christ also, not himself. Could you imagine that Christ pleased not himself? But as it is written, he says, for the reproach of them that reproaches thee fell upon me. So what I'm saying is that, you know, we have to be concerned about others and learn how to trust, because trust is big. If one said they trust in the Lord in whom they have not seen, but unable to trust in the one in whom we see quite often, that's pretty much detrimental, man, to society. So we have to learn how to trust. I think it can be done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. www.bfcinstitute.com. Please check us out. Send us your questions. There's an email there. You can join us at phone number. You can call us at go to our website there and learn about us. This is Talk Straight. I appreciate these brothers talking straight tonight. So, Charles, Outcast, and our regular panelists, Pastor Wallace, thank you so much to our listening audience. We look forward to being back, Lord willing, on next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Stay tuned to our announcements via Facebook and Twitter there. But we thank you for joining us tonight. Prince Hall, an African-American knot in American history. Our next topic will come next week, and look forward to it. Gentlemen, thank you again, and we'll be back for another episode of Talk Straight.
All right, John.
Right.
Check it.